Get the latest sports in 1 hour. It's Crunch Time, weekdays from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City, online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
So, up until a year and a half ago, was that the top laugh we played? And now it's Kawhi? Or is that the exacto? 1-2. It's amazing how many of you ran into a guy at Sam's place who gets out of work.
Did you apologize? It sounds rude.
It was a little fender bender. Said while he generally gets in 7:30, but the job he does, he generally leaves a couple minutes before 5 every day. And he says, it's ridiculous how I'll be driving and just, it's so part of the camel at 5 o'clock. And a couple of you have already texted, you know, got my Elmo fixed, because there hasn't been one since the 18th, because we were off on the 25th for Christmas, and obviously it was New Year's Day while we worked, because it was Rose Bowl Day. We didn't do the regular show and have our 5 o'clock hump day. But and believe me, I am a big believer that it is these little subtle things that over the course of a week make you laugh, make you chuckle, kind of lightens things up. It just makes life happier. It doesn't ask much.
Yeah, when I filled in for you for over the summer for a week, when it was Wednesday and like it was intern Sam who hit the hump day button, I was like, oh, I'm halfway done. Hey, here it is. I'm almost done.
It means something.
It felt a lot different, like, just hearing it played, as opposed to being like, oh, right, like, I got to find the button, get to the right page on the drops, hit it, there, is it loud enough, is it going to work, okay, here we go, we're good. And I'm just freaking out, but when you're just sitting there, you're like, ah, oh, it's Elmo, ah, it's the camel.
I'm telling you, the simple pleasures in life are just to be treasured and valued. You can plan out like a vacation. You're going on a cruise. You're gonna do this. It's like, we're going to have a great time. But it's that like Friday night where you stop off for a drink and like 4 or 5 different people you haven't met in a while show up. You good ball game. Maybe you shoot some pool or something like that. And you end up like laughing so hard, tears come out of your eyes. And then the next day you're like, see, you couldn't plan anything like that. It was just a beautiful thing. Simple pleasures in life. All right. Welcome to the 4 o'clock hour. We're not quite halfway there. It is Sports Talk here on 95.3 The Score. The way to get involved, well, you got options. 284-8571, your Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, now entering a second decade with their generosity and providing us the hotline for you to call in on. Ron Sue and the great people over at OFI online, OregonFuelInjection.com, for all of your diesel needs since 1974. First year of free agency in baseball. All right, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Speaking of, and bring in Pat. Pat, happy 2020. How's it going?
You too, Steve. Yesterday, you were talking to Josh, and you guys got talking about the Titans and the situation with quarterbacks and Tannehill and Mariota. It was great to hear that Josh likes Mariota. You know, I mean, him being a Beaver fan and all that.
Right.
So, kudos to him about that. And I think Josh is a pretty knowledgeable guy. I do. But I tend to disagree with the situation that people are on a Tannehill and they think this guy can't play. Because I always kind of myself look at a team or a player through the eyes of a quarterback.
Right.
As a kid, I used to, I played a little bit QB, and that's what I wanted to be, and I did a little bit, So when I look at it, someone like at Tannehill, to me, when he was in college for Texas A&M, I thought he was a prototypical, pro quarterback. And I've always thought that about him, and I've just thought that he's always been in the wrong situation. I think this situation here with Tennessee works for him. I think for Mariota, it doesn't, and it never has. They never had a good offensive line, and I just don't think that the way that their offense is set, it uses his best assets, And with that said, I think that there's a common thing that's talked about with quarterbacks, that there are system quarterbacks. In my opinion, every quarterback is a system quarterback. Because you can't just take a quarterback that's a good quarterback and stick him into any team. Because they all have certain idiosyncrasies that aren't going to work on every team. And my hope is that Mariota can go someplace where they will adjust their offense to him. Because he's not talented. He just isn't in the right system.
No, I agree. I think the perfect example is look what happened with the Ravens. They drafted Lamar Jackson, and rather than say, you have to fit Greg Roman's offense, they tweaked it around his talents, and he exploded. If you're going to have a guy like Mariota, you could check the boxes. That's part of a skill set. That, maybe not so strong, so it's kind of the round peg, square hole thing. I agree. I think in the right system, Mariota could flourish, and I think that one of the reasons they've struggled with him is because the powers that be were too stubborn about, well, this is the way we do it. Well, that's not helping when you have Mariota as your quarterback.
I totally agree with that. And you see this in too many situations when it comes to quarterbacks especially. And even sometimes with running backs and receivers. You can't always stick these guys in a spot and think they're going to flourish if their skill set does not go with the offensive that you're running.
Yeah, you wouldn't put Peyton Manning in a spread offense.
No. I mean, and I'm not to get into all this, but I mean, you see this at Oregon a little bit here this last couple of years. You got Verdell, who's a good back. He's not a power back. And I just feel like this kid, you get him to the edge, give him a chance to do that once in a while. You switch some things up. He can be an excellent back. I think he's got a chance to be a decent pro. But I think when Oregon's offense, they're going to beat the crap out of him by the time he graduates.
I got you, Pat. All right. Hey, have a good
one. Okay, man. Take care.
And by the way, along those lines, Kansas City switched from Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes, two athletic mobile quarterbacks, but different skill sets. I mean, Arizona said, so if we're going to draft Kyler Murray, not only are we going to try to tailor the offense towards him, we're going to just draft a college coach with a losing record because we think you want to match your quarterback to the system that'll best fit him, not the system that you have in place that you want him to adjust to, if that makes sense. And it's one of the reasons that people are singing the praises of John Harbaugh and Greg Roman. They were like, all right, we have this guy. The Flacco era is over. And if you look at Jackson and Flacco, I mean, you're not talking mirror images as far as quarterback skill set. You got one guy who's 9'8", and if he has to get outside the pocket, he'll tweak his ankle. And you have another guy who in the pocket can crucify you. He'd kill you on the move. And so why would you not alter the philosophy of your franchise around a guy who obviously could be pretty successful? Everybody says except Bill Polian.
Oh, Bill Polian's just the worst. But no, that offense is so incredibly balanced. Like, it's incredible when the quarterback run threat, when even if it's a pass play and you have to drop back into pass coverage and there's three wide receivers and a pass-catching tight end, you've all got to worry about with, you know, Mark Ingrams or is it Buck Edwards or Gus Edwards or whoever, like, their backup is back there. They're still, like, pass-catching backs. They're still pretty, like, you've got five or six guys you've got to worry about with that. And then if the coverage is so good that there's nowhere for Lamar to throw the ball to, well, he's certainly going to pick up 7 or 8 yards at least on the ground, if not more, because he's also impossible to tackle. And then when you're trying to load up the box to stop the run and you're trying to blitz and you're playing spies, you're taking bodies off of wide receivers. He's got the good enough arm to beat you through the air. Like, it doesn't make any sense how when everybody looks at how good the Ravens have been this year with the dual threat quarterback, when everybody's not saying, well, why don't we add something like that, or take a guy who did something like, even if they're not, you know, as good a runner as Lamar Jackson is, if you can add a little bit more balance to your offense by adding a run threat from your quarterback position, your team is going to be that much better.
He carried the ball 176 times this year. Ingram, their second leading rusher behind Jackson, had 202 touches. And by the way, they set the record. No team in the history, maybe it's since the merger. I'm not 100% sure. Either way, it's 50 years. Nobody has rushed for more yards than the 2019 Baltimore Ravens. And he also completed 66% of his passes, 36 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. He ran for 7 touchdowns. When a quarterback accounts for 30 touchdowns, that's pretty good. 35 better, over 40, you're getting crazy. I mean, we know we've seen the years with Peyton, and then, you know, Brady originally rewrote the book in 2007 when he got Randy Moss, because for years the record stood, I think it was 48 TD passes of Dan Marino, his second year in the league. But what Baltimore did is say, well, we drafted this guy, let's make the best of it. You give up on Flacco so you don't have to pay two guys, let him walk, turn the reins over to him because of the success he had after taking over last year, and 14-2 shows a little flexibility, a little ingenuity, a little understanding, and a little less stubborn. Obviously, he worked pretty good. Now, the thing about Tannehill, first of all, he played with Miami, who hasn't done anything since the 70s. Well, I should say the 80s with Marino. Tannehill's is a good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? No. Is he average? Yeah, maybe a little above average. I mean, his record reeks of mediocrity. He's 49-49 as a starter.
Talk about balance.
But, you know, 64% isn't bad. 145 TDs to 80 interceptions isn't bad. But I don't know if anybody realized over his 10 starts this year, he led the NFL in yards per completion, yards per attempt, and quarterback rating. So certainly it helped because they're a pretty good defensive team. Certainly it helped that, almost did it again, Derrick Henry was really running the ball effectively. But it doesn't matter what you think about Marcus Mariota, who I felt they misused, whether it was the revolving door at offensive coordinator. It doesn't negate the fact that Tannehill came in, played really well, did exactly what was needed, and they're in the Elite Eight. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. There's 24 other teams who are like, I wish we had accomplished what they did. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. Yeah, a couple of you are texting about Joe Moorhead. I mentioned it in passing. If you want to jump on in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So the news making the rounds, Mississippi State's now former head coach, Joe Moorhead, perhaps well up the list to become the offensive coordinator here for the Dukes. He's from Pittsburgh. He's a come through the ranks guy, which I kind of like. And I've said it many, many times, the retread is a cliche for a reason. Now, I don't consider a second chance if you get a coaching opportunity and go, you know, you may warrant a second chance with the big boys. I mean, look at Pete Carroll or Belichick. You know, not so great the first time as a head coach in the NFL, then pretty good. Moorhead played back east in the Bronx at Fordham in the mid-90s. He also coached the Rams from 2012 through 2015. He was the offensive coordinator for two seasons at Penn State and two really good years, 2016-2017. Now, no question, he inherited some talent, but in the first year there, I'll just run some names, who he had in his offense and how they did. So in 2016, Nittany Lions 21st in the country in scoring. That's a lot. I mean, that's out of 130. If you remember, following that season, they lost that great Rose Bowl, that shootout to USC. Trace McSorley. They had Saquon Barkley, Chris Godwin. Now with Tampa Bay, and you know the reason, the guy who caught the touchdown that eliminated New England from the bye, Mike Gesicki, yeah, he was on that offense at Penn State as well. The next year, when Godwin was drafted, you know who one of his top guns was? Juwan Johnson. And they were seventh in the country in scoring his second year at PSU. Then what happened was, Dan Mullen left Mississippi State to take the Florida job. Moorhead then got obviously promotion. He became a head coach in the SEC at Starkville of the Bulldogs. Now, what did he accomplish there? Mediocre. They won 8 games last year, 6 and 6 this year before losing the Music City Bowl to Louisville. But, like some have pointed out, man, you take a job in the SEC West and it's not Auburn, Alabama, or LSU, you're like peaking at fourth. I mean, it's just like, especially for a crap program like MSU, I know that's rude, but let's face it, they've had like 7 good moments in our life. But as a coordinator, interesting choice. What do you guys think? And has anybody read anything besides, you know, hearing from your buddy down at the bar, any names being bandied about? So his best success at the highest level has come as an offensive coordinator for a big-time program. Sometimes that's just what guys are best at. I think it's an intriguing name, to say the least. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What else did I want to bring up? The
Tannenism.
I do want to talk about the Blazers. Somebody said, did you mention the Melo gamer last night? No, I didn't. And we'll get into that. That'll be our leadoff for our next segment. But and tomorrow on the show, We've got busyness. We're going to talk with the new soccer coach, Graham Abel. 4:30, we'll talk with Aaron Fentress of, I almost said his original job. Then I went to his backup second job. Now I'm like, no, Aaron Fentress of The Athletic will join us. Yeah, Aaron Fentress of the Portland State Press will be joining us sometime tomorrow. But the other thing, I wanted to kind of take a deep breath. I'm not making light of this. The passing of George Perlis, who longtime Michigan State coach, also an athletic director. He was also, I think he played at MSU, WMYA, very many years ago. I'd have to go back to see if he was on that legendary 1966 team. No, the math isn't working there. But he was the state coach from 83 to 94. And, you know, that was before the rise of Wisconsin, when it was, you know, still pretty much Michigan, Ohio State. And then he snuck in there in 1987 and won a conference, which at the time, I don't think Michigan State had been a contender in the Big Ten for like forever and a day. You might remember Lorenzo White, a good NFL player, was on that team. Andre Bad Moon Rising was the top receiver on that team. I'm just trying to think if you'd recognize any of the defensive players. Maybe Todd Crum, who had a cup of coffee in the NFL. But, yeah, he passed away. And what's interesting about him is what he did. Well, what I found interesting, because I had kind of had it vaguely in my mind, then heard about it. I mean, you know, Michigan State was in the Rose Bowl in 1987, like I mentioned. Before that, they hadn't been to the Rose Bowl since 1965 under Duffy Doherty, who's kind of a legend there. The 1966 team with that legendary tie against Notre Dame, Bubba Smith, and all those guys. All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I just kind of wanted to touch on like what you were saying with Joe Moorhead. I think he would be a good fit. I mean, I think he's a good coach. Mississippi State, like you said, man, is a tough place to be. And, you know, like you said, I think that's where you should get a lot of appreciation for a coach like Dan Mullen, what he was able to do there at Mississippi State, and then go over to Florida and go, what is he, 22-5 and two New Year's Six Bowls. They took over a 4-win team. I mean, coaches seem to go to the SEC West in those bottom programs like Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State. That's like a place to go to die for your coaching career.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, when you take that job, and you see what happened, in order to compete, Ole Miss with Hugh Freeze, I mean, they ran afoul of the rules, and, you know, everything kind of blew up in their face trying to keep up with Bama, Auburn, and LSU.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are not easy jobs to take to keep up. And, you know, I look at a guy like Dan Mullen, man, and really appreciate what he was able to do there at Starkville. Because there's nothing in Starkville. I don't know if you've ever been through there, but it's nothing but cow pastures. There's nothing that appeals to a recruit to go to Mississippi State. And for him to take, you know, 2-3-star guys and at one point take Mississippi State to the number one team in the country is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think Moorhead is an intriguing, impressive kind of guy. Good call, Mike. I appreciate you taking the time to dial in. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter at 953 the score for the station, for the show at Sports Talk 953. And you could also hit Nick up at Rick Nodgers. All right, I've got some NBA to get to. No, I did not forget that the Blazers won at the House of the Champs, and it was Melo who delivered the game-winning blow. I also said I've been going kind of position by position with Oregon and looking at what areas perhaps would concern me for 2020 and what areas look like they will, be elite and the strength of a team who will at that time be calling it kind of a triumvirate, the defending division conference and Rose Bowl champions. So with that thought in mind, we break, we return with more sports talk and a Coors Light update, 95.3 The Score.
Go, 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 go. Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
C.J. Holding sweeps it low to the floor, outside of Carmelo, head down, 15-footer away, got it! Carmelo Anthony drills it straight away from 16 feet out, 3 3/10 seconds remaining in this baby, and the Blazers take a lead at 2.
Kevin Calabro on the Blazers Network, Channel 737, here on your Xfinity Splash! as they beat the champs on the road. Groovy, man. Just groovy. One of the great things about social media is I'm not really paying that much attention to the game. I had just gotten home, was BSing around, getting dinner ready, and then all of a sudden it's like, this looks interesting. Flip, click, last, guide, enter. So this is an interesting finish. I mean, I only saw about a minute and 45 of the game. And by the way, can't beat the Knicks, but they beat Toronto. What's it called? Scotiabank Arena, where the Raps play. So I'm telling you, I was kind of joking about it on Twitter, but it's hoops porn. So there's about 10 seconds to go. It's 99 all. So, you know, the Blazers are in that favorable position of going to take the last shot and win it or go to OT. Although they did leave time for that Lowry ended up with a heave. So picture in your mind, if you're facing the basket, not at the middle part of the three-point line, a little to the right. So McCollum is trapped in the corner. He draws the double team. He feeds Anthony just outside the three-point arc. And you could see Anunoby was torn. Do I help on McCollum or do I stick with Melo out top? So by the time he commits, he has to now run as hard as he can the three or four steps over to Anthony, who's got the presence of mind to know where the clock is at. So he blows by Anunoby with a left-handed dribble, and he pulls up. But the interesting thing is, normally under that situation, there's help coming from Anthony's left. The problem is the help is Patrick McCaw. 6 seconds to go. Why does he not come and commit to Anthony? Because if he leaves Lillard wide open for a three. So Anthony pulls up from 15 feet, a shot that he's going to make very frequently, and it was just perfect execution the way McCollum saw the double team reacted, gets it to Anthony. Anthony sees that the guy is going to have to do a run out on him, so he uses his momentum, blows by him. So if he draws the help, he just kicks out to Lillard for a wide open three. Instead, he just pulls up and he's got a wide open 15 footer, which has been one of his money shots for 16 years. It was... That was, I'll tell you what, love good execution, man. That is pro basketball at its best. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Jump on in and bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good evening, Steve Tannen. Steven Baroni, a social water boy for the Beacon. I want to congratulate Eddie Alexander for the NCU Beacons men's basketball team. He has done very well being the best coach of the year. And I want to say the Oregon Ducks are my favorite team forever. You as a head radio host have done very well. And I love your enthusiasm. You have a great sense of humor.
Thanks, Steve. Have a good one. By the way, still religiously checking in from Florida. You can't be farther away and be in the continental United States than FLA. Guy's a champ. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you'd like to jump on in. So, you know, quickly back to the NBA. Now, the defense after the Anthony splash only allowed a last-second 30-point heave by Lowry. You know, you can't go 30. What'd I say?
You said a 30-point heave.
Wow.
That would have been for the game winner, for sure.
Could have been down 29 and win it at the end.
Man, can you imagine?
That's a backbreaker.
It's like the big three. They get the four-point shot. Look, you got the 30-pointer. He hit the 30-pointer. I don't know what to say.
It's not my rule. The problem is it's a game. It's nice. A lot of people are saying, you know, will that be one of those springboard games? They play Minnesota tomorrow. They're back at Moda for the Bucks on Saturday. By the way, your Bucks in town on Saturday.
I'm going to not be there.
Let's see what happens the next two games. It was funny watching Lakers at Knicks. Well, I guess watching the Knicks, maybe funny isn't the best way to phrase it. And so it's on NBA TV, and they're talking about the rivalry between these two teams. And anybody under like 55 is like, what are you talking about? When have the Knicks and Lakers played a game that mattered? Well, 1973. Seriously. When the calendar changed from the 60s to the 70s, in 72 and 3 out of 4 years, the Knicks and Lakers played for the NBA title. You know, the legendary Game 7, Willis Reed limping out for the championship in 1970. At the time, the 1972 Lakers made their case as the greatest team ever. They had the 33-game win streak. They went 69-10. By the way, you think it's a long time ago? In the West playoffs, the Lakers beat the Bulls, then the Bucks with Kareem, and then blew through the Knicks in five. At the time, when you think about it, that was the first Los Angeles Laker championship, and the only one that Jerry West won. Chamberlain, check out I looked at his numbers in the finals. He averaged 20 points. That's pretty good. He averaged 23 rebounds. Willis Reed was hurt, missed the whole series. That was a great team, though. And since New York beat L.A. in 1973, they haven't gotten better. They've made the finals twice. They lost when Jordan was playing baseball in 1994 to Le Roquet, when Ewing guaranteed a victory in Game 7 and got his ass handed to him by Hakeem. And then in the lockout season in 99 when they got swept by the Spurs. L.A. since then, they've only been to the finals 16 times, winning 10. And the Lakers are back in the mix. The Knicks are back in the mix for the top pick. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Larry. Larry, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good afternoon, Steve. Very well. You know, first of all, today is the birthday of the King of Rock and Roll, baby.
David Bowie?
88 years old, the Big E. Elvis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was Bowie's birthday.
Yeah. I had a more kind of a sobering thing to talk about, but it's... you mentioned George Perlis, but there's a local guy who just passed away yesterday, about 73 years old. I don't even know if you know his name, but a lot of local people will. He was Alan Richards from Cottage Grove. He was a parade All-American in football. The Oregonian had the top 11 players of that particular year. They had 10 pictures and a full picture of him running the football. He held the record for rushing for many, many years.
In high school?
One of the most high school record, Oregon high school record, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then one of the most amazing things, how explosive this guy was at about 5'10 and a half, maybe 5'11, 195 pounds. He held the state shot put record for another, I don't know, 20-some years. He put the shot, 12-pound shot put, 62 feet, 5 inches.
And could you give me a timeline? So if he was 73, yes. This is what, 50 years ago, 55 years ago?
Yeah. He was a senior 1963 when they, that was when he played everybody in Eugene, and then we had the non-conference game was against Powerhouse Roseburg, where about half the town of Cottage Grove was at the game, and it was a very close game, and it was the only game Cottage Grove lost that year. Cottage Grove had three players, first state players, and Alan's older brother, Mark, was a guard on the University of Oregon football team. He wasn't necessarily a special player in high school, but he made all coast as a guard, number 68, blocking for first team All-American Bob Berry.
Uh-huh.
And then the last thing is, it was kind of a great expectation things. He reminded me a lot of John Cappelletti. It seemed like he would have been destined to make the NFL. It just didn't happen. I don't want to go into all the details. But he became a coach later. He also opened Coach's Athletic and ran that store. But his daughter was much like him, Kendall Richards. She was a player on the championship Churchill team. I think they won the softball championship in the early 90s. And then she got a scholarship to Cal, transferred to Texas A&M, and became a first-team All-American. That was his daughter, but and still is. But I mean, yeah. She was explosive. She's very explosive. I think she led the nation in hitting. Anyway, there's a lot of great memories. Alan, he's such a personable guy and a special, special athlete, amazing athlete.
All right, good one. Great info, man.
Give me a shout out.
And I know you being with your brother, kind of the pulse of Cottage Grove history and sports.
Correct.
Thanks, LT. Have a good one. That was Larry Thompson, as in, Jerry Thompson, Ducks Illustrated. Grovers, baby! 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. You can try us on Twitter, at 953thescore for the station, for the show at Sports Talk 953, for Nick at Rick Nodgers. There's some good NBA going on. I think it started already. Yeah, we're into the 4 o'clock hour. Miami and Indiana are two teams I think are going to make a lot of noise in the playoffs. Remember, the Pacers, when you think about what they looked like a couple years ago and then how well they were playing last year when, in essence, they lost their best player. Victor Oladipo. I always thought that Nate McMillan was a pretty good NBA coach. You know, I'm not going to put him in Popovich's vein or anything like that. But this is an interesting team. They got Dougie McBuckets coming off the bench. Doug McDermott, a good scorer. How good is Sabonis' kid, by the way? Have you guys checked out many of his games? He's only 23. He shoots a really good, but in a stunning development, he's got a real good skill set. He's 6'11". He's a lefty. In case you're wondering, he is Arvidas' kid. He played for Gonzaga. He was a lottery pick by the Magic and was traded draft day to OKC. And then... how did he wind up on the Pacers? I think there was another deal as well. Yeah, draft day trade with Ilyasova and Oladipo to Oklahoma City for Serge Ibaka. And then he had a deal. He got traded again with Oladipo, if you remember, during the last offseason, part of the Paul George deal. And now, I mean... He's such a good all-around player. I mean, his numbers this year have jumped to 18 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists. He's one of the best all-around players in the league. All right, it's that time on a Wednesday. We look forward to it, where we give you our pet of the week. Then we'll be back with more sports talk, 95.3 The Score. All righty. Well, since one Wednesday was Christmas, one was New Year's, we've pushed it forward to January. But it's another yay day. Sarah from Green Hill is here. Pet of the week time. Happy New Year, Sarah.
Happy New Year, 2020.
How's so life?
Crazy. You know, life is pretty good.
All right. You walked in with this doggie who I've seen on some of the sites on TV.
Pretty popular.
Certainly making the rounds. Yep. So very happy guy, very fluffy, very soft. Yes. What could you tell us about this doggie?
Well, we've got Finn today. Finn is our little social butterfly. He's about 5 and a half, and he weighs anywhere between 55 to 65 pounds. And he's a little mixture of a lot of different things. I think there's a little bit of Irish setter in there and some retriever.
Definitely some retriever.
And probably even some shepherd in there because his face is a little bit smaller than a retriever's. So it's kind of hard to say, but he's gorgeous regardless. And he's a really even-tempered dog. He does have a good amount of energy, so he does like to go out and play and go on walks and such like that. But He hasn't really got along well with other dogs in the home, so he's a little particular. So it's for right now, no other dogs in the home. I think it's something they could potentially get worked with and be just fine. And then he does have a decent amount of prey drive. He is always looking for creatures outside. So no cats, I would say.
All right.
And then children, as long as they're, I would say, respectful and a little bit older, they probably would be.
If they understand,
exactly.
No putting face to face and jumping.
Yeah,
on,
you know, he does
no riding.
He does okay with face to face because I was doing that earlier in the car because I could not help myself because he's just so fluffy, and he's just reminds me very much of my dog. Chloe.
Oh, really? Yeah, he's very smiley, happy guy.
Yes, he's a very handsome boy. So yeah, he's looking for his forever home.
All right, and as always, for folks who are thinking, start the new year right, great resolution, what happens for folks who are interested, and what's the process?
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. We're over in West Eugene, located off of Green Hill Road, and we're open 7 days a week, 11 to 6 p.m. Come on down, and if you have any interest in the animals, and we just don't, not just dogs, we have cats, we have lots of bunnies, we have, you know, we have a little bit for everybody. You fill out pretty much one page of paperwork, and you meet the animal, and if everything goes all right, then you go home with them.
All right, that's the process. Always look forward to it. Sarah, always our pleasure.
Glad to be back.
As always, learn more online, green-hill.org. Follow them along on Twitter, @GreenHillHumane. Adopt, give a pet their forever home. Best decision you'll make. Back with more, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
As we looked at the rule book, we wanted to make sure that we could have rules that would be easy to officiate. We hired Dean Blandino, the guru of professional football officiating in this country, to make sure that we could get a system in place where we can play this fast-paced, up-tempo, ideally high-scoring game. That's what fans told us they wanted, so we listened and put it all in place. So we're excited about what we have.
That's Oliver, soon to be running out of luck, the XFL commissioner, explaining their rules, a.k.a. it's basketball season, then golf, then baseball, and we're desperate. That's how I translated all that. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
I understand that you're very grumpy and you have your
season.
Has
nothing to do with grumpy. It's a fact. It's not football season.
Oh, yes, sure. But are you not at least excited?
None.
No, hold on. I haven't even phrased the question. Are you excited to see what random weird thing the XFL is going to introduce that the NFL will then adopt? Because
no.
The Skycam was one of those things, and the Skycam is one of the coolest things ever. And if it weren't for
it's
the
okay.
XFL the first time, did you not watch any of the kickoff returns from the Skycam angle? That I think.
Trust me, if the XFL came up with it,
you're no.
It's
fun.
Like the Mrs. It's ooh. Like the it's like the scene in the diner with George and Jerry when they George goes, Jerry, what's the tallest woman you ever slept with? And he says, he goes, geez, that's all I could think about, sleeping with a giant. And Jerry goes, so you've altered your expectations. You don't see yourself as like an Edison or a Magellan. George is like, Magellan? You like Magellan? And Jerry's like, around the world. Come on, my favorite explorer. Why? Who do you like? And he goes, DeSoto. Oh, what did he discover? The Mississippi River. Oh, like they wouldn't have discovered that anyway. That's the Skycam. It was coming anyway. We didn't need the stinking XFL.
That was the longest roundabout way to get to the joke of a punchline to just bash the XFL I have ever
yes.
heard in my life.
That took nine minutes
to get to.
I would have happily called in and walked around Valley River. I would have taken that long to make that point.
Like, most of the rule changes are really dumb and they're over the top. They're very XFL-y. But the stuff, Dean Blandino was on the Lebatard show today. He was talking about the XFL is going to be using Hawkeye, which is what it's used in tennis matches to determine if a ball was in or out, combining like 9 different camera angles to spot the ball. That is something that the NFL has had a problem with forever. If it works in the XFL, Roger Goodell is damn sure going to use that in the NFL, and that's going to be coming. I think another one was being able to hear the communications between the coach and the quarterback, hearing play calls, what kind of talks are going on. I could see that becoming a thing in the NFL as well. There's going to be a couple little things that Roger Goodell's going to be like, just in case. He's going to realize the NFL is king.
Do you listen to yourself ever? You don't listen to me. Do you ever listen to yourself?
Rarely. I know the NFL is king, and Goodell knows that too. But just in case this XFL thing takes off after 2 weeks with good ratings, because the first week will have good ratings, and the second week everybody will forget about it, just like the Alliance of American Communists who played football. But
they start? The week after the Super Bowl?
February 9th, my birthday.
There is a birthday party for me here.
Ah, there will be for me. An XFL party. You're invited. We'll get you a jersey, a hat.
Could I pass?
A little pennant.
So I'm just wondering, because it's probably a little much to check that far ahead, but if you're saying February 8th, that's Saturday, let's see, you got Kansas, TCU,
nah.
LSU, Auburn, Michigan State, Kentucky, nah. Tennessee,
nah.
West Virginia, Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Nova,
nah.
Virginia, Louisville.
Nah.
By the way, these are just the top 25 games. Texas Tech, Duke, North Carolina, Oklahoma State, Baylor.
You've listed one game that I'm maybe
UCLA, Arizona, yeah. Oregon State. So I just picked nine things I would rather watch than whatever is on before or after XFL football, because it's not football season. All right. If you're looking ahead to the 5 o'clock hour, well, so am I. Come up with something original for crying out.
That feels like you specifically. I've ruined it.
Specifically
targeted at me. We got to get the break. That was bad.
All right. I need to get to some NBA. I got more thoughts on duck football. I've got this story that is now really making the rounds about this idiot member of the media who got a pair of game gloves from Kyle Rudolph last week and then sold them on eBay. And literally everybody hates this guy. You know, a little more on the passing of George Perlis. I wanted to talk about. Then that will kind of morph into his role as the line coach and defensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steel Curtain, the team of the 70s, some college hoop, your calls, digressions. I think by now you kind of know how this whole thing works. By the way, what a great game tonight. Jokic and Doncic, Dallas, Denver. And Doncic, what do you think of that to me? We'll take a break back, 5 o'clock hour, 95.3 The Score.
Just a bit outside.